Brother Joseph, you told us that the Lord gave you some scriptures on how to receive and keep the anointing from God. Can you talk to us about this?
Amen, amen. Lord help us. Well, the first scripture I'd like to read is Hebrews 12:14-17, and it's a very important scripture. I have a little scripture here I want to share tonight, and it's about how to keep the anointing of God, because the Bible, there is many people in the Bible that they lost anointing, great people of God. Not just Saul, King Saul, but also people like Samson. And they lost the anointing of God, and one sin here, one sin there. People like Solomon, they lost the anointing of God. King David lost the anointing.
What is the anointing?
Anointing is something the Holy Spirit gives you. That Samson, he had great great strength. David had great power to win every battle, to be more faithful than King Saul, to be a man after God's own heart.
But it has nothing to do with salvation, right? Or does it?
No. No salvation or something else. Anointing is more like the gifts of the Spirit. An anointed to do miracles, an anointed to do healing, an anointed to prophesy, speak in tongues, an anointing can be even outside the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12. It can be an anointing to preach the gospel. That's something everybody can do. But if you produce good fruits, then you have an anointing on witnessing. You can have an anointing to be a good husband, a good wife, a good son, and a good father.
Isn't it like the anointing basically accompanies you in anything you do, whether it's healing or being a father or cooking, anything it is, the anointing is there blessing the fruit of your hands?
The anointing, in a way, it has a lot to do with our faithfulness. It is born of faithfulness. If you are unfaithful like Samson, you lose it. Like King Saul says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, the Spirit of the Lord departed, and an evil spirit from the Lord was oppressing him. So the anointing left and went on David, right?
So the anointing comes from the presence of God's Spirit upon you?
Well, the God's Spirit, you always have it because maybe you're saved. If you're saved, you always have the Lord's Spirit. But if you make a wrong decision, like Ananias and Sapphira, they were Christians, but they made the wrong decisions, and so they lost the anointing, they kept the salvation. Mm-hmm. Salvation you cannot lose.
Mm-hmm.
All right, there are many scriptures on this. John 10:26-28, John 11:25-26, and a bunch of others. You can lose salvation, but you can lose the anointing through disobedience, but you can get it back through repentance. All right? Like, for example, Samson, he got his eyes plucked out. Why don't you read about Samson? You want to go to Samson? Judges 16?
Yes.
16, from 16 to 21. Thank you.
Judges 16, from 16 to 21.
Yes, here the story of Samson, how he lost the anointing, and how he got it back. But a bit too late, but still got it back.
And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, so that his soul was waxed unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon mine head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me.
So
and
here,
I shall
here
become
is revealing a secret, you understand? He should not have done this.
And I shall become weak and be like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this once, for he hath showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand.
So he showed her, okay, all his heart. But you are supposed to love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. So here he backslid. Here he turned his back on God. Here he took his eyes off the plow, looked back, looked to the world, looked to this Philistine pagan woman, worshiper of idols, and he married her against his father's counsel. Go ahead, carry on.
19. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him.
So she put him to sleep, she caressed him. All right, it says upon her knees, you say, all right.
20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him.
He wist not that the Lord was departed from him. He didn't even realize that the Lord had departed. In other words, the anointing, not salvation. All right, anointing. Go ahead.
21. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house.
Okay, you can read the whole chapter, Judges 16. And then after this, he repents, he cries up to God. After about 1 year or so, it must have taken some 10 months at least, 8 months, 10, 12 months for his head to grow back. So he was grinding at this stone and for about a year. Okay, So it's a very sad story. Why for a woman? Just for some sex. All right, see, by contrast, we see Joseph with the wife of Potiphar, the captain of the guards. She was running after him in the flesh, right? She wanted to have sex with him, and he said, no, I cannot do this against God. So he saw that the sin was not just against the poor husband, it was against God.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up in prison again. I mean, like Samson. He ended up in prison for a couple of years, Joseph. But there he was faithful again. Right, and he became the director of the prison, a preparation to become the director, the prince, the Pharaoh's right-hand man, the prince, the ruler, viceroy, like a little Pharaoh, prince of Egypt.
His anointing actually grew through all these problems and trials because he stayed faithful.
He stayed faithful because you grow in faithfulness. So that's how you can keep your anointing. You make, you make God in a way bless you. God looks from heaven to see who is faithful and gives his anointing.
Mm-hmm.
From heaven he saw that Saul was unfaithful, he took it away. He saw that David was faithful and gave him the anointing on David. David was faithful, killing lions and bears to defend the sheep. He was faithful.
So then it's enough to be obedient to keep your anointing?
Yes, obedience to the gospel. Yes, that's exactly what it takes. Obedience to Jesus, to the scriptures. It's enough to do what you know that you have to do. Right? See, it's a choice. Look, here, the next scripture that I have for you is Matthew 7, 21 to 23. If you will, please, if you can go there.
Matthew 7, 21. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
Praise the Lord. So it's a choice. We see also in the two churches, Philadelphia, Revelation 3:7, Laodicea, Revelation 3:14, the two churches. Here we have the church of the flesh, the church that loses the anointing. Laodicea, like the gospel of prosperity today, preachers who have one, they all want private jets, this and that. And then we have the Church of Philadelphia today, the virgins with oil, Matthew 25, the Church of the Bride of Christ, that we sit on the throne with Christ, ruling and reigning with Christ for eternity, Revelation 3:21. Shall we read that beautiful scripture?
Yes, first I would like to ask you, in Matthew 7, why does it say, ye work iniquity, ye who prophesied in my name cast out devils? Why is it considered iniquity?
Well, iniquity because they preach a gospel of, like it is prosperity, a gospel like they use God, the name of God, they use the name of Jesus to lift up their church, their sect, their religion. their Catholicism, their Protestantism, their whatever it is, instead of being just the body of Christ. There is only one church, after all, the body of Christ. All these other sects, they're going to end sooner or later. So they use the name of God to lift up themselves. Okay, so they practice iniquity.
But by doing these miracles, they're not doing God's will? They're not obedient?
Well, the miracle themselves, but listen, miracle is not a big deal, okay? Even the devil can do miracles, okay? You go to Exodus chapter 7, the magician from Egypt, they do miracles. You go to Revelation chapter 13, the false prophets will deceive the world through miracles. You go to Revelation 19, verse 20, it says that the false prophet was in the lake of fire, the false prophet who deceived the world through the miracle was in the lake of fire. A miracle is not a big deal.
So what counts?
Miracles accompany the preaching of the Gospels. In fact, I don't agree so much with the... I'm not so impressed with preachers. All they do healing. You know, healing is not a message. I mean, the message is Jesus, is salvation. Get out of the world, go preach the Gospel, give salvation to the souls.
Make disciples. Okay.
And the signs, healing, miracles, you shall take up serpents, Mark chapter 16, these signs shall follow. Follow who? Jesus. Follow what? The gospel. Follow the message. So Jesus sent us to preach a message. He didn't send us to heal the sick and that's it. He sent them to heal the read, I think it's Luke 9:2. Can you read that? I think it says pretty clear there.
Yes. Luke 9 verse 2. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
See, Jesus doesn't send people to heal the sick. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and these signs shall follow them. But the signs, okay, the main sign is not the healing. The main sign is Jesus, is salvation. Okay, I prefer somebody who preach salvation who doesn't have the gift of healing, but get them saved into heaven and out of hell, than somebody who goes around healing and healing. In fact, I was one time in Eastern Europe. I went to visit some, there were some preachers from America, and they were doing a big healing meeting from town to town, city to city. They came from America. They were doing healing. I went there to see, but I was getting so bored. All we see just healing, 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 healing. I said, when do we preach the gospel here? I wanted to run into the stage and preach something. But the message is not healing. The healing is a company. The message is Jesus, is salvation. Amen?
Yes, amen.
So here we have the choice. As you see, we are talking tonight about keeping the anointing, losing the anointing, getting the anointing, not getting the anointing. They choose the choice people have to choose. What they want to do. Are they going to be faithful with the gospel? Are they going to be unfaithful? They're going to, you see, to be part of the Laodicea church, or be part of the Philadelphia church, to be part of the church of the Bride of Christ, to be part of the church that Christ is ashamed, right, the two churches, it's our choice. God doesn't decide our kind. God wakes up and says, okay, you, let me see you, I don't like you, you go to Laodicea. It's not like that.
No.
God looks who's faithful. He looks from heaven to see who's faithful. Okay? He goes. His eyes go to and fro all over the world to see who deserves the anointing. The anointing goes by merits. I think we have a scripture on that. Dora, do you have a scripture on
this?
Yes.
2 Chronicles 16:9.
16:9. Thank you. While I was preaching, she was searching. Bless your soul.
For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly, there from henceforth thou shalt have wars.
Okay, here this king was out of the spirit, but was it 2 Chronicles, what, 16?
2 Chronicles 16.
Okay, verse 9.
Verse 9,
okay. So the eyes of the Lord go?
The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him.
So God is looking whose heart is perfect. David was perfect, anointing. Saul was not perfect, he took it away. Got it?
I would like to say that perfect means complete, whole heart.
Doesn't
mean perfection in the flesh.
In Hebrew, right?
In Hebrew, shalem, and it means complete, whole.
What is it, shalem?
Shalem.
Wow.
Perfect. complete whole. In other words, whole heart for God, not
okay.
perfection.
No perfection like legalistically or bureaucratically or religion. Okay, no, just the heart.
All your heart.
In the name of Jesus Christ. So anyway, anointing is like a birthright, because Esau, for example, he had his anointing. In his case, was just a birthright, which is he gambled it, he sold it for a plate of soup. All right? Look, go to Galatians 6, 7 on this subject, 6, 7, and 8. Thank you.
Galatians 6, verse 7 and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Amen. So let's not play games. God is not mocked. He has given us a birthright. In Jesus Christ, now he took the place of Jacob, Israel. Israel, Jacob, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, he has a birthright. He got it from Esau, who was not worthy. All right.
Why Esau was not worthy?
Esau was not worthy because it was of a heart, it was superficial. He did not value the birthright, he despised it. Why don't you read that in Hebrew 12? Verse 14.
Hebrews 12, verse 14.
Yeah, you need to go until 17.
Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord.
No man shall see the Lord without holiness. No holiness like the Pharisee, like fake religions. Holiness is loving God, loving Jesus, preach the gospel, okay, live faithful. It's nothing to do with religion.
15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place for repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears.
Wow. So if we despise the birthright which we receive in Christ, we become like Esau, and the day will come when we want it back, we cannot have it. So if now we put the world first and Jesus second, the school diploma first and the gospel second place, money first and the souls last, well, the day will come, and maybe sometime, when up and down, sometime in the future, maybe even, that we're going to be like Esau. We'll be crying tears. We'll be sorry. We'll want to repent. But when we lost it, we lost it. Like if you say, I repent maybe when you're 70 and 80, after you enjoy the world, this and that, and then I repent after I enjoyed everything. Well, be careful because, you can even get saved before dying. But the crown, you can say goodbye to the crown. The crown, the oil in the lamp, you have to, is something that you do drop by drop, day by day, faithfulness by faithfulness, day by day, year by year, serving the Lord, following Jesus, following the gospel, preaching the gospel, seeking for the sheep, giving them salvation. I've been doing this for 46 years now, as a little missionary in the streets, and I see the importance of not failing one day. Every day I had to be faithful, not that I was always faithful. I'm just a little missionary, I'm not a bishop, but I learned the faithfulness to go every day in the street, every day out, every day look for sheep, preach in the church, the true church, the church of Jesus, the body of Jesus, the church of Jesus. I'm a free Christian, for me, Catholic, evangelic, it makes no difference. God loves everybody. So we need to be faithful. I learned the importance day by day, day by day, day by day. I knew that if one day I say, today I don't want to be a Christian, today I don't want to be a missionary, I knew it was like taking drugs. And then it gets worse and worse and worse. You lose the anointing. Mm-hmm. But the Lord kept me until now by His grace. This is very important that we remain faithful. Look what happened to Saul. Saul, what a contrast with David. All right? So David comes and he shows his faithfulness. So I'm talking tonight about the importance of the birthright. what's our birthright, our calling, Jesus? When are you called by Jesus? When does Jesus give you the birthright, Dora?
When you get saved.
When you get saved. When you get saved, you receive the birthright. Why? How do you receive this birthright? Well, Ephesians 1, verse 13. What does it say?
Ephesians 1,
yes.
13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Okay, so after when we believe, we are sealed. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. In other words, when we get saved, it's like Jesus puts his engagement ring in your finger.
Wow.
And he asks you in bride.
Wow.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Read that, 2 Corinthians 11, 2.
2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. So we can be chaste virgin, or we can be an easy girl in the street, a girl working in the port.
What does that mean spiritually?
Quotes and quotes. Spiritually means that you shall love with all your heart. Something you must love as number one. Okay, we just got a situation here. Some sheep we're ministering, some sweet people we're ministering. We used to go to their house and have beautiful meals together, read the Bible and everything. But it turns out that she was having an affair for a long time behind her husband's back, and we were shocked because they seemed such a nice family. She still loves her husband. She still loves her, right or wrong.
Yes, yes.
But she doesn't want to drop a lover.
No.
And so they split.
Mm-hmm.
She still loves him. She's had three children. The three children, the husband. All right? And now she's with her lover. She still loves her husband. She said. In other words, you can still love God, but first the world. You can still love God, first your diploma, your university, your school, your job, your money, your TV, your computer, your smartphone, first that. Are you investing more time in your smartphone or in preaching the gospel? More time in your computer, your TV, or in preaching the gospel? That will tell who is your first love.
Mm-hmm.
You spending more time studying the Bible or the news or following sports or talking about politics? That will show who is first in your heart. And today, in this era of Laodicea Christianity, I must say, sadly, that the majority of the Christians are loving the smartphone more than the Lord.
Yes.
They love more the TV, more the job, more the university, the school, the money, the job. God, a couple of hours once a week, warm up a church bench, listen to a nice sermon, and then go have a little drink. That was a nice sermon. But this is dead Christianity. No wonder many of these people who go to the church are not even saved. No wonder.
So when you receive Jesus and you receive your birthright, your anointing, you are basically called to separate yourself from the world and do not follow the worldly things anymore. Otherwise, you lose this anointing.
Amen. The anointing you lose. You don't lose salvation. That's clear in the Bible. Or a salvation, you can be resurrected to everlasting shame. Yes, like it says in Daniel 12, 2 and 3. You can be resurrected to everlasting shame. Christ will be ashamed of you. You can be allowed this year, this and that. Okay, ashamed of you. But salvation, don't lose it. It says very clear that. I know there is a different controversy, but this is the truth. You can lose salvation, like it says in John 10, 27, 28, John 11, 25, 26, 1 John 5, 11 to 13, Romans 8, 35 to 39, you don't lose salvation. Why? Because Jesus didn't come here to take away salvation, but to give salvation. Amen? Yes?
Amen.
I have a question. There is a scripture in 1 John 2, 27, it says that the anointing which you received abides in you.
Yes, definitely, as long as you obey.
Okay.
But the moment that Judas decided to disobey, he lost the anointing. The moment that King Saul decided to seek his own honor and not God, he lost the anointing. You can read it in 1 Samuel 16. Can you read that? First Samuel 16, verse 1.
Yes. First Samuel 16, 1. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite.
Yeah.
For I have provided me a king among his sons.
Yeah, because it says that the spirit of the Lord departed, and an evil spirit from the Lord afflicted him. Okay, you can search the scripture too. So you see that Samson lost the anointing. David lost the anointing, and he fell in the ditch with Bathsheba. Okay, and until he repented, but at a high cost, the baby had to die.
Yes, yes, yes.
All right.
It's in 1 Samuel 16:14.
Yes.
But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him.
You see? So the anointing comes from the Lord, but an evil spirit from the Lord also can will afflict people who disobey. People who... That's why Jesus said in Matthew 13, verse 9, 10, 11, there, he said, why do you speak to them in parable? Jesus said, I speak to them in parable, because they have eyes, but they see not, ears, but they understand not. Why? Why he speaks in parable, they don't understand? So, because the heart is hardened, he says in Matthew 13. I speak to them in parable, so they see and they see not, and hear and they perceive not. In parable. Jesus did not come to save everybody, not the people who don't open their hearts, not the people who harden their hearts. To them, parables. All right? So that's it. So if it, like we have a birthright which we receive in Christ, it's the call of Jesus. But like it says in Luke 9:62, if we put our hands to the plow, look back, we're not fit for the kingdom of God. All right. So let's not tempt God to take away our anointing, and we are tempting God if we look to the world. Hands on the plow. You look back, you look into the world, you tempt God to take away your anointing, like it happened with Samson, with Saul, Ananias, Sapphira. New Testament. It's not just Old Testament here.
Yes.
So the question is, are we putting all we have, protect our anointing with our whole life against everything that the world is telling us? You crazy, you fanatic, you this and you that. Alright, are we listening to the world? Are we listening to the devil? Are we listening to the tares? Or to God? Or to Jesus? Or to the Bible? Joshua 24 said, that's for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So it's our choice. Amen. So our choice is, are we going to despise our birthright in Christ? Are we going to despise? Are we going to go have a relationship with the world with the engagement ring on our finger? Is that what we're doing? Because that ring is going to be taken off. Engage. We're not going to be the bride of Christ if we're not faithful. Not if we look back. Yeah. It's nothing wrong. You have a job. Of course, you have to pay the rent, take care of your children. Absolutely. I have six kids here. I have six children in our community. Of course, we have to take care of our family. Of course, of course. Well, I've been a full-time missionary all these years. All right. But if you have a job, there's nothing wrong with that. Jesus had a job. Jesus worked. He was making chairs. He was making tables. He was making wardrobes. All right? Until 30 years old. And then he said, okay. He got anointed. He went to John the Baptist. John the Baptist gave him what, Angela?
Nothing.
He gave him, yes.
Because John the Baptist said, I don't need to baptize you, you need to baptize me. So he got nothing from John.
Until Jesus went to Jordan, who was preaching the gospel?
John.
So what did John give him?
He passed him the torch of the preaching the gospel.
He passed him the baton. He gave him the baton.
Okay.
All right. And John the Baptist said, I gave you the baton. Okay. I baptize you in the water if you really insist, but you know, to tell you the truth, I can't even fasten the shoes of your sandals. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, we need to fulfill every justice. And Jesus got baptized in water. Okay, and that's why Jesus was baptized in water for us. And since then on, in fact, since he was baptized in water in our place, we don't have to be baptized in water. We don't have to be circumcised. Jesus was circumcised, he was baptized in water, and now we don't have to do that anymore, because now we are baptized in the Holy Spirit. Mm. Now, what's wrong with baptism in water? Nothing. I was baptized in water. I baptized people in water. Definitely. I enjoy it. It's a good testimony. But when I baptize people in water, they say, hey, attention. Attention, this water gives you nothing. All right? The true repentance now is no more in water. It's in the Holy Spirit. It's by fruits. Okay? So you enter a dry sinner, you get out a wet sinner, that's about it. It's a good testimony, don't get me wrong. You can do it, but it's not indispensable. Now what's indispensable is one, two things. One, receiving Jesus, and two, baptism in the Holy Spirit. So that's it.
Amen.
And then the anointing will come, not from the water of John, but from the Spirit of Jesus. You got that?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Be baptized, make it a testimony, but tell people when you baptize this, it doesn't give you nothing. What gives you the anointing is Jesus, the Holy Spirit, which you can get the Holy Spirit as you get baptized in water or even without. Got it? In fact, it says that in 1 Corinthians 1:17, Paul says, Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. He meant water, of course. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So praise God. So keep your anointing.
Hold fast your crown.
Can you read that? Revelation 3:11, please. Can you read it?
Revelation 3:11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast what thou hast, that no man may take your crown.
Hallelujah. So, don't let the devil steal your crown like he did with Esau, like he did with Saul, like he did with David for a period. He lost his kingdom, he lost his crown, he lost his baby, he had to die. Uriah, he was one of the greatest, bravest soldier of David, and he killed him with the adding killed. That's horrible. Even worse sin than Saul. Only Saul never repented in deeds, only in tears, but not deeds. But David repented in deeds. That shows.
So, if you lose your anointing, you can receive it back.
Yes, the anointing, you can receive it back. Yes. Salvation, you cannot lose. It's always yours. How do you get it back? I mean, these churches who preach, you can lose the salvation. How in the world do you get it back? By works. How do you get it back? By works. Forget it. You didn't get it by works to begin with. You got it by grace. If you got it by grace to begin with, are you going to get it back by works? Ridiculous. You got?
Yes. And if you lose your anointing, like you gave the sample of David, for a period he lost his anointing, you can receive it back through repentance.
Through repentance. Anointing, yes. Only the anointing.
No. All right. Yeah, the salvation you don't lose, the anointing.
Yeah. Exactly. Salvation, when people reject salvation, attention, but Jesus said, give this fig tree 1 year and then cut it down. He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Attention. Jesus said, 1 more year to this fig, chop it down. John 15 says the branch do not bear fruits in me shall be chopped down. In other words, you can be a branch in Jesus, you can be a Christian to the best church, but if you don't bear fruits, you are in Jesus. Oh yes, you're a Christian. Oh yes, you go to Christian church. Oh yes, communion every week, every day. But if you're a mental Christian, if you're a nominal Christian, if you're a fruitless Christian, if you're a deedsless Christian, then you're not a true Christian. Amen?
Amen. Amen, yes. Thank you, Jesus.
God help us. So then, to keep our birthright, the engagement ring, the beautiful promise of God, all we have to do is make sure we keep our heart fixed on God and not desire the worldly things, not look to the right, to the left, but walk on the straight and narrow path.
Amen. Amen. That depends on us. Dora, you want to get a scripture from me, Revelation 19:7-9? Angela, can you give me one too?
Yes.
Revelation. So start with that one. I'm thinking about another two.
Revelation 19:7-9. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready.
That's the bride of Christ. She kept the engagement rings.
And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he said unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, useless to say, Lord Jesus, that we are not worthy.
Thank you, Lord.
We don't need to inform you, Lord. I remember the scripture, Angelina, you ready?
Yes.
It is Revelation 3:21.
Revelation 3:21.
Wow, the wife has made herself ready, and the white linen is what?
The righteousness of the saints.
Okay, and some Bible say the righteous deeds. All right, so the Bible says the righteous deeds. So it's not the righteousness of Christ, it's the righteousness of the saints. Why this difference? We have to do our part. We cannot go to sleep on a church bench and then say, Jesus is going to do everything. He's going to keep me faithful. He will preach the gospel. He will give me the oil while I sleep, oil in the lamp. I have to do nothing. I'm saved by grace, and I live by doing nothing. You know what? I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Revelation 3:14. I said, I'll vomit you out of my mouth if you don't have deeds.
In fact, both the Amplified and the NLT, New Living Translation, say the godly deeds.
Okay, yeah, because other Bible, other languages, it says deeds.
Well, to every church in the book of Revelation, to the seven churches, Jesus said, I know your deeds. I know your deeds.
Yeah.
Good or bad, I know your deeds.
Yeah, it was my wife. She's Danish, and she has a Danish Bible. Mm-hmm. I have to check on the Bible, too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, you understand the situation here.
In Greek, it's dikaioma, and it means an equitable deed.
Equitable deeds. So, beloved, if you want to be the bride of Christ, God help us. We need to produce some deeds, some fruits, some works in Christ. Jesus gave to the seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, he gave the same message to the seven, repeated seven times, said, I know your works, I know your works, I know your works.
Yes.
I know your works are this. You are more dead than alive. I know your works, Laodicea, I vomit you out. I know your works, Ephesus, and I'm going to chop down the lampstick if you don't repent. I know your works, Philadelphia, and because I know your work, Philadelphia, I set in front of you an open door no man can close. Why? Because you kept my word. God, so I know your works. Did you find the scripture?
Yes, Revelation 3:21.
Yes, please.
To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and I am set down with my Father in his throne.
So overcoming, if you keep your birthright in Jesus, not the birthright of Isaac and Abraham, of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Or which Abraham's inheritance and Isaac and Jacob was a symbol. The birthright from Abraham was a symbol of the birthright of Christ. Amen, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
So I think we can just close here. Thank you very much, beloved, for reading the scripture. Made my life easier.
It's a pleasure.
Oh, praise God. I would like to just pray a couple of words. A couple of words of blessing for the brethren that follow us.
Yes.
I dedicate this prayer especially to the new brethren who don't know us, don't know our radio, don't know our YouTube channel, and who don't know us. And maybe some of them, they go to a church where they're convinced that they're going to lose salvation. No, brother, it's not true. You can lose salvation. I want to pray a couple of words, and if somebody is not sure to have salvation, to have this birthright, to have the engagement ring of Jesus. I would like to pray for their blessing and how they can obtain the anointing of God and to keep it. Pray with me, beloved brother and sister.
Thank you, Lord.
Dear Jesus, I give you my heart.
Dear Jesus,
Lord Jesus, I ask you to love you with my whole heart, my whole soul, and everything I have. I put it at your feet, Lord Jesus. Nothing in my hands I bring, only to the cross I cling. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive all my sins. Make me worthy to be part of your bride, because I'm not worthy. Come into my heart, forgive all my sins, and fill me, baptize me to the overflowing with the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I pray. In the name of Jesus, Lord, deliver me from any spirits of the enemy, any attack. Deliver me. Bless my family, Lord, my work, my evangelization. Bless my finances. Bless my health and my families. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, glory, Jesus. Glory to God.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, we bless you, Lord.
Amen.
And we thank you, Lord, with our whole heart.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Bless you all, dear brethren. Write to us if you'd like. We would be happy to receive news from you.
So you're going to answer?
Definitely.
Bless you.
Yes.
Yeah, we have some couple of hundreds of videos. Different language. We have a couple of thousands all in all. Couple of hundreds are in English, you can study, you can see there are especially some very important prophetic messages in the videos, with some very beautiful revelations about the Antichrist coming, the mark of the beast, the protection from the Lord, power from the Lord,
how to prepare
refugees in the time that's coming.
And
that's it. God bless you. We bless you. We pray for you in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you're right, we'll answer you.
Bless you.